everyone. Christmas came early for all of us this year. The final experiment is revealing how the grift is over.
Do not have a 24-hour sun in the south.
The 24-hour sun in Antarctica doesn't work on a flat Earth.
On a flat Earth, you can't have a 24-hour sun, a midnight sun in Antarctica. And I totally agree.
In the flat Earth model, we say there isn't a 24-hour sun in the south. And there isn't.
There is no midnight sun in Antarctica.
As we all know, the final experiment is currently going on. Jernism and Whitsitt are there, and some other girl who's like representing the third flat earther. I have no idea who she is. Now, they conducted a test a few days ago, and I think I might use this for a defeater from now on. I usually pick the fact that when we look at the moon, when any two people thousands of miles apart look at the moon, it always looks the same. That can't work on a flat earth. And the rotation of the night sky as viewed from the northern versus southern hemisphere. But this one's actually really great. This is Ushuaia, which is the southernmost big city in the world. And in the southern hemisphere, in the summertime, the sun rises in the southeast. So that's what this website is showing you. That is when the sun comes up. So the sun rises at 135 degrees from the north, down here. Now, on a flat Earth, that simply cannot be possible. Ushuaia is right down here, 135 degrees. Well, that would be 0 degrees straight north. So turn 90 degrees looking this way, and then a few more degrees. That would put the sun over here somewhere. Now, that obviously impossible for the flat Earth model. With the globe, because the Earth is tilted and then the Earth turns into the sunrise like that, because that position is over here, then that looks like it doesn't look like southeast. It literally is in the southeast as it rotates around. Whitsitt and Jernism were tracking in real time where is the sun rising in Ushuaia, and oh no.
132? Okay, thank you. 132. Let's go 132. Wait, what? No. That's 132? Mm-hmm. Or did you say 152? Sorry, somebody repeat it. Was it 152 or 132? No, I didn't remember. Come on. Sunrise 132. No way. What? That can't be right. And where's 180? So that's south? There's no way. There's no way. Austin, this is where the sun's supposed to rise. Tell me if that's true.
Can I say again?
This is where the sun's supposed to rise tomorrow.
It's supposed to rise right there? Why? Why?
Why? What? You gotta be kidding me. There's no way.
Now, the grift may be over, but we will never be able to do anything about the stupid people. I brought up this sun rising at 135 degrees thing yesterday. Last night, I crashed a flat Earth panel thing on the Politics Discord server. And here's just a sneak peek of how that went. Did you guys see that the sun rose in the southeast in Ushuaia? And Whitsitt and Jernism freaked out about it?
What's Ushuaia? Yeah.
Ushuaia is the southernmost city in the world, some say.
Okay.
Yeah, so they freaked out and?
Well, it's devastating for flat Earth.
It is? Can you put that into a logical syllogism? How it's devastating for a flat Earth?
You can simply model the flat Earth and you can show how in the southern hemisphere, as long as you're below the Tropic of Cancer, the sun is never in the southeast. But on a globe, that's exactly what you would expect.
Okay. Is that a logical syllogism?
No. You want me to get
okay,
it?
Okay.
Why would a logical syllogism... See, You dipshits do this thing where you try to find something that the other person can't do, as if that proves something. They do this in a court of law. Your Honor, the defense didn't put anything into a logical syllogism, therefore throw this case out. This is the flailing you guys do in the face of overwhelming evidence. It's so funny how the grift is just over.
Peterson, relax just for a second, man. Just chill. You might learn something, man.
Not from you, idiots, no. Sure, so we could do something like if the Earth is flat, then the sun would always rise in the northeast if you are in the southern hemisphere, if you're in the Ushuaia.
You have to demonstrate that premise is true. So how do you demonstrate that?
You go out and you make the observation, and the observation was failed.
How do you demonstrate that if the Earth was flat, the sun wouldn't rise in the southeast?
Because if the Earth is flat, we can map, we would know where the sun is in relation to other locations. It does not go any farther south than the Tropic of Cancer. Yeah,
that's a cool story, but there's no such thing as the Tropic of Cancer.
I agree that it's an imaginary line, like the equator is an imaginary line, but it really is a geographical ring around our planet. Whether you think it's a globe or whether you think it's flat.
Okay, there you go. So now,
this entire exchange will go up tomorrow. This guy is the most unbearable human being I've ever talked to. He is by far and away worse than any guest I've ever had. Well, he wasn't a guest. I was the guest, but you get the idea. And it's the classic deny, 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 shift the burden of proof, try to trick the other person into figuring out something they can't articulate, and that means I win. Again, when I say the grift is over, I mean the people that have been lying about this, like Austin. I have no doubt that Whitsitt has been lying about the shape of the Earth or his belief about the shape of the Earth for years at this point. I can believe he used to think that it was flat, but he has been caught lying and playing so many stupid tricks and saying things that even for somebody who thinks the Earth is flat are so indefensible that it's just very plain and obvious that he was never honest or has not been honest for years. Before we talk about that, we have to talk about the people who are too stupid to do anything about with regard to this. So here's this guy, Matthew. They're discussing the final experiment. Listen to his reasoning and justification for how the final experiment doesn't prove anything.
Tonight, I will expose why the final experiment is fundamentally flawed, failing at every level, scientific, logical, and ethical. I will argue that it is not a true scientific experiment, that it contradicts the observable natural order, and that its entire framework serves as propaganda rather than genuine inquiry. Why the final experiment fails at every scientific, logical, and ethical level.
So he pretty plainly used ChatGPT to do this because I use that program every single day. And what you're going to notice is he keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. This is what ChatGPT does. It writes headings over and over again and circles back to like a central point. It's very clear in the style.
One, science is never final. The name, the final experiment, contradicts the core principle of science, which is continuous discovery.
This is just a dumb verbatim fallacy. But being pedantic and being nitpicky with words is one of the only strategies these idiots have.
Science evolves through ongoing testing, refinement, and questioning. Declaring an experiment final suggests a dogmatic conclusion, not a commitment to truth. By declaring itself final, this so-called experiment undermines the very process it claims to validate.
Okay, I'm sorry, but he's reading at 5 words per minute, and I have to speed it up dramatically. We're going 1.75, which I never do.
If future discoveries or perspectives are dismissed, this is no longer science. It is propaganda. Two, why the 24-hour sun in Antarctica is impossible.
So he just said that it's impossible for there to be a 24-hour sun in Antarctica.
scientists of the globe Earth often cite the theoretical phenomenon of a 24-hour sun in Antarctica as evidence of axial tilt, but this claim collapses under scrutiny. Polaris, the North Star, remains fixed in the night sky with all the other stars rotating around it in a predictable, circular pattern. This consistent motion disproves any notion of a wobbling or tilted Earth.
So, he started off by trying to argue that it's impossible to see the sun for 24 hours in Antarctica, and then didn't back up that claim. So, we won't watch this part, but what he's saying is, the Earth is here until... This is the way he does it. He uses his head as the sun. Here's the Earth, tilted. My head is the sun. And then 6 months later, here's the Earth, tilted at that same place. But we can still see Polaris. That's impossible. It would have to shift its perspective. It's just... It's so incredibly stupid. And what Flight the Flat Earth fails to do is... What I would do is go over what the angular resolution of Polaris would be. But he seems to think... I think what Matthew thinks is that if we're going around the sun like this, then when I'm over here, yeah, I'm looking at Polaris. But when I'm over here, I have to look at the sun, toward the sun, to see Polaris. It's very unclear, but I think that's his argument, because he doesn't understand that at night you can't see the sun because my head doesn't actually reference things to scale, and the distances aren't to scale either, so he's just so incredibly hopeless.
Earth were tilted on an axis and spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. The relative position of Polaris would fluctuate, but it does not. No axial tilt means no 24-hour sun. The claim of axial tilt is foundational to the explanation of theoretical phenomena.
I'm going to interrupt here just for a second. So, speaking about the angular resolution, this is actually what I covered in that video I uploaded recently, the new dumbest guest of all time. I did the numbers. That was for the closest star to us, and Polaris isn't the closest star to us. So I did the math for this in my book, and this number represents if we just do this for 1 minute. But here's the angle for 1 year. So in 6 months, we would have half that, 0.0045 degrees. That's how much the angular resolution of Polaris would change when Earth goes from one side of the sun to the other side of the sun. Well, not even Polaris. That's for the closest star.
Like the 24-hour sun. Without an axial tilt, such a phenomenon would be impossible.
But we do see the 24-hour sun in Antarctica. So what's his argument going to be? Without tilt, it can't be observed. But we do observe it.
Number 3. Experiments must be repeatable and verified. A valid scientific experiment must be independently repeatable and verifiable. If others cannot reproduce the results, the findings are anecdotal, not scientific. How the final experiment fails scientifically. 1. Lack of repeatability.
So, again, this is how I know this is ChatGPT, because he's not finishing his thoughts. It starts into the next thing, and he's reading a heading.
The experiment is designed as a one-time event with no clear methodology for replication. 2. No independent oversight. Where are the unbiased, credentialed scientists? The participants...
These people reject what scientists have to say.
...consist entirely of...
And if this... So scientists believe that the Earth is a globe, so he wouldn't accept that anyways.
...globe trolls and flat Earth shills with clear biases. The live stream problem.
So even though they're sending flat Earthers there, at least one real flat Earther, Jaronism, they're shills and trolls.
A live stream could provide transparency, but introduces two critical issues. 1. Technical limitations. Will there be Starlink or reliable internet access for continuous, unedited footage? 2. Authenticity concerns. Without proper safeguards, even a live stream...
So just nuh-uhing all the data. And the other thing he said, they get into this later, but going to Antarctica isn't repeatable. Yes, it is. There are people that have been... This claim of the 24-hour sun has existed forever. And there have been people there for decades. There's footage of it that's existed for years and years and years. And so these people are going there to confirm it. But also, I don't know if this technically counts, but the fact that there are 6 people there means it's being repeated 6 times.
Stream could be manipulated, leaving room for skepticism. Number 4, ethical failures and propaganda missteps. Ethical and logical credibility are essential for any experiment. The final experiment fails here as well. Who is conducting this experiment?
Will Duffy.
The participants are not neutral or credible. No.
According to what?
No impartial physicists, surveyors, or astronomers are involved. The entire event.
You guys don't believe those people.
Is orchestrated by individuals with clear agendas undermining its credibility.
Yes, including three flat earthers, or at least one real flat earther.
The Jaren and Austin blunder. Over the summer, two prominent flat earthers, Jaren Campanella and Austin Whitsitt, abruptly shifted their rhetoric. Jaren began mocking flat earthers and endorsing globe concepts.
Yep, there we go.
Austin started promoting globe science on his YouTube channel.
No, he didn't.
Which is a propaganda blunder, because the...
And again, he doesn't explain. I don't know if it's because Whitsitt does geocentric debates sometimes, but...
These changes occurred before the final experiment. This premature narrative shift undermines the experiment's credibility. Question. Were they ever sincere flat earthers, or were they planted to manipulate public perception? Number 5. The final experiment fails at every scientific, logical, and ethical level.
See, again, repeating that exact same thing again.
Scientific failures. Declaring finality contradicts the iterative nature of science. Lack of repeatability and independent verification disqualify this as a valid experiment. The claim of a 24-hour sun in Antarctica collapses under scrutiny of Polaris and the fixed star rotations.
No, it doesn't, because we do observe the 24-hour sun. You didn't try to say that there is... He's preemptively saying the 24-hour sun can't happen because Earth isn't tilted because of Polaris. Except we do observe the 24-hour sun, so how do you deal with that, Matt?
Logical failures. The experiment's premise is built on faulty assumptions about axial tilt. And the
He's just repeating himself, so I think we're done with that one. So I wanted to highlight some more moments from our precious little guy Whitsitt here. So this was just simply too good to be true. Listen to this.
Obviously this, you know, for people to say that we can't go here and all these people are working here, we obviously never actually claimed that people couldn't go here.
Yes, you did.
We just say you can't freely and privately explore it.
You over and over and over again said that you can. In fact, I wonder if the...
Well, I will say this, will we flow over it? I'd be like, you probably don't want to really do that, you know, so...
Okay, so here's an example of Austin, just... being a word salad artist, and that's how he perpetuates his con and his grift. Now, he talked to somebody that can see through that, because what Whitsitt's been doing for a long time is saying kinematic equivalence, kinematic equivalence, kinematic equivalence, so it's not exclusive to the globe. What this actual physicist shows, at least to my understanding, is you can't get those kinematic equivalences, or you get those kinematic equivalences, I should say it that way, from starting with the equations with gravity and then just simply canceling out terms. You don't get them independently. It comes from manipulating the gravitational equations. So what they're going over here is how you can't derive 9.8, or Whitsitt can't derive 9.8 without that. So we'll listen to a little bit of this. And then there's something else going on too.
We know that these two forces are going to equal. So we would have MA, G, MM over R squared. Right, the M's will cancel because we're talking about the mass of a certain object. And then what we have here is A equals G M, which is the mass of the Earth, since we're talking about gravity on the Earth's surface. R squared is the radius of the planet. If we input these numbers, we get 9.8. Do you can see that, or do you want me to actually type the numbers in?
Of course, that's irrelevant.
Do you can see this, or do you need me to type in the numbers and show it on the camera?
Oh, of course.
I think I already typed in. Let me just show
There's no concession. There's no concession.
I'm leading to a point, because I actually went through the numbers earlier just to make sure. But this is the equation I just put in just now. If you could see that. Maybe you can't see it. 9.8 meters per second squared when you put that in. Now, and that's going to be G. Now, you said you were a math whiz, and in school you did math, and you could pass the test and not have to write the answers down.
This is true. I don't remember when he does it, but he plays a soundbite of Austin saying, like, oh, I'm smarter than Einstein and shit like that.
If you tell me, how would you integrate this? What would be the proper way to integrate this?
No, dude, Ryan, why are you not moderate? Do you see that this, all the guy is doing is...
Yep, okay. So, Nathan Thompson and Whitsitt do this. When they get exposed, they cry like little bitches to the moderator. And for some reason, I don't know why Ryan is so bad at this, but he placates to them. I don't remember if it was this one or the Nathan Thompson one recently, but Ryan, he gave like a 2-minute speech about how, well, we're going to let them say whatever they need to say, and we're not going to be disrespectful, and we're not going to do all this bullshit. He's a god-awful moderator. The moderator should not step in unless both parties are talking over each other and you can't hear anything, or if somebody's being just overtly abusive.
Is intentionally avoiding every single aspect of the actual debate and the subject, every point that I've made. He came here in complete bad faith, has played clips of me out of context, has tried to do anything but actually have a debate, and now he's like, hey, can you tell me how to do a math equation? Do you not see how this is?
You could just say,
you
know, well,
to be fair, you could just say no, but I on me because he couldn't even get close to discussing this conversation.
I'm getting to a point, but since you said that,
no, you're not. No, you're not. Okay, no, you're not.
All right, I'll give you 15 seconds to try to.
Used to get accused of cheating.
Oh no!
In my algebra,
look what he's doing.
Because I wouldn't show my.
That's why I said that. You said you used to pass all the tests, but we showed you can't.
I used to get accused of cheating because I could do all the math without writing down the words.
What does that have to do with the debate, Daryl?
Let me keep going. You can't do it.
Exactly. He can't derive the equations. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
What does that have to do with the debate,
Daryl? You said you were in school and you're a math whiz and you can do it, but I showed you can't. I'm going to show people how to do the integral, and I'm going to show you where kinematic equations come from.
Dude, I'm about to leave, Ryan. I'm just going to let you know.
You can't do it.
Yeah. So then he does. I've seen T-Jump do this before too, and this is just unbelievably pathetic. I'm about to leave. He should. If I were that guy, I would have kept going until he did leave. That would have been the only thing to do. Okay, you know what? What I was talking about earlier, that was this debate. We're at 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 5 seconds, and literally it's just the moderator and Witsit going back and forth for several minutes here about how, ooh, we need to have a nice debate. The whole time, the physicist sits there and does the kinematic equivalence. He does the actual math that Witsit can't do. It's just part of his word salad, non-debate rhetoric. So the guy just, he let them ramble so he could actually do the work, and then he shows how, yeah, Witsit, you don't know what you're talking about, and this is how this is actually done.
What I've shown is Witsit is wrong. This is a...
So real quick, we're at 107.50. So yeah, that went on for 3 minutes.
Kinematic equation, which is actually an integration of gravity based on Newton's laws. This is a kinematic equation, which is the integration of the first equation. I showed you wrong. When you use the kinematic equations, you're not avoiding gravity. It's not some kind of output. The reason why gravity outputs, if you find the proper time and the proper distances and the proper speed, is because it was derived from gravity in the first place. You're wrong. So I'm not going to listen to you tell me this is what your model says. This is what
you just dropped the mass out. Wait, did you drop that? Did you drop mass out?
You're cutting me off now.
You dropped your own dynamic claimed cause out of your equation.
The reason why I'm not going to listen to you when you tell me this is what relativity does and this is what your model says, and you can't even.
Perfect. Final example. This is how you know that Austin is literally just making shit up, because here's an example of him saying something that's so stupid that it's indefensible even if you take the flat earth position.
I'm asking you, on your flat plane, explain the observations of the celestial sphere. In the north, you get counterclockwise rotation. In the south, you get clockwise rotation. Explain that to me on your default flat plane. Explain it.
Yeah, so the counterclockwise and clockwise direction is super simple. It's based on looking different directions. Your better question is, why does it go around a singular point, is what you're trying to say.
No. I'm asking about the direction. I'm asking about the direction.
It just looking opposite directions would make them go the opposite direction.
He couldn't even say it with a straight face. So what he's saying is, look at your ceiling fan and look at the direction it's spinning. Then go to some other place in your living room and then look at the ceiling fan. And it'll be spinning in a different direction. No, it won't.
Wait, do you agree that if I was looking out and something was spinning one way and then I looked at it from the other direction, it looked like it was spinning the opposite way?
Yes, wouldn't. Or
no? Jesus said something like, you will only have me for a short time, but the poor will always be with you. So I'm looking forward to the flat earth community completely taking everything away from Witsit. Oh man, I hope that happens. But we will always have idiots with us, unfortunately. There's also the question of how much of the whole Witsit phenomenon is unironic. Like, the people know that he's lying, but they watch it for fun. Because Austin's thing is that it's like he has a humiliation fetish. He goes into the debates and is as abrasive as possible and says stupid inflammatory shit. And the whole time he's trying to get the other side to basically attack him. So then he can bitch to the moderator, say, "Ooh, ad hom, you don't even have an argument." That's the whole point. It's not about being correct. It's about to try to make the other side look fallacious or to try to get their panties in a bunch. This is the Jesse Lee Peterson phenomenon. I thought for years that Jesse Lee Peterson really meant all that stuff he says, but no, he's a troll, and that's why people watch. There are people that actually are stupid enough to think that he's like telling the truth. That does exist, but the phenomenon basically is, we know he's a troll, that's the point, and it's funny that other people don't get that he's trolling, but they're very good about hiding that, about not revealing that that's what's going on. So, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.